Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Oh, glad to be back. As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody. Help me grow this podcast. It is super early. Actually, not as early as it. I should have did this a half an hour ago, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Got up at 5:15. I want to go back to bed, but I can't. The sun is coming up. Man. So I can't be too loud because Bot and Miles are still sleeping. But, man. Some exciting things to talk about this week, but I'm going to start off with my milestone as usual. And for those who don't know, I have a 4.5-year-old son. Actually, he's like 4 7/8 or yeah, somewhere around there. But almost 5. He'll be 5 in September. It's pretty close. But yeah, he's almost 5, and I like to do these milestones. And this week, he went to a, I guess you can call it a kindergarten boot camp, if you will, just to kind of get them used to going to kindergarten and what the school is like. So he's been going there since Monday, and he absolutely loves it. It's such a cool thing to see him so excited about going to school. I mean, he's just obsessed with the buses and the backpacks and, you know, just going to a big boy school. And it just, you know, it's just a big boy school. It's just, I mean, it just seems like yesterday I brought home this little Chipotle burrito, you know, of a person, just tiny. And here he is, you know, about to go to kindergarten. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's about to start his educational career, and it just makes you realize how fast time flies, and that he won't be, you know, daddy's little boy forever. I mean, it's starting, and it terrifies me, you know. I just I can never really enjoy anything, you know. It's so hard for me to really be in the moment because I'm always like, this is almost over. This will never happen again. And it just, I mean, when he was, even like the day he was born, I was happy, but I'm like, he's going to leave one day. It's like, I haven't even got him home yet, but, and I'm worried about the day that he's going to leave the house. But, so he's excited and it's really cool to see. He's having a lot of fun, and, yep, only 2 more weeks of paying for pre-K, and I'm excited about that shit, I tell you that. So it's just fun seeing my little boy excited about going to school and learning, and I know he's going to do well. And, yeah, it's probably going to be a really emotional day for me. You know, the older I get, the more sensitive I get, and people can make fun of me or whatever, but hey, I am what I am, you know, as Popeye would say. But, yeah, moving on. So, got some exciting news. You know, actually, it's been a pretty good week and a half or so for comedy. I got into the Rogue Island Comedy Festival in Newport, Rhode Island. So I'm excited about that. I'll be up there for a few days in October. That's a little ways away, but it'll be here before I know it. Then a couple of days ago, found out I'll be doing the Pittsburgh Comedy Festival in about a month. That's fun. Just found out I'll be in Albany in December with my boy Mark Norman. Hey. So I'm excited about that. And then the big news, I wish I could be louder, but I kind of want to wake them up, is I'll be home Labor Day weekend, Rochester, opening for the legendary, I mean, the one and only, the New York King of Comedy. He used to have a show on Comedy Central some years back. Tough Crowd, one of the best comedy, you know, talk shows to ever exist with all the best comics back then. And they're great now. Jim Norton was on the show. God rest his soul, Patrice O'Neal, Bill Burr. I mean, all the guys that who are just killing right now. They were on this show, Young and Hungry. But that person I'm talking about is the one and only Colin Quinn. Super excited. Very smart guy. I mean, from watching the Comedy Cellar documentary, this dude basically kept the Comedy Cellar afloat when comedy clubs weren't doing well. And if you know anything about comedy, everybody knows that the Comedy Cellar is the mecca of all comedy clubs. Okay, I don't care. Not in New York, not in the United States, but the world. The Comedy Cellar is the comedy club. That's where all the best comics in the world go. So I'm very excited to be able to work with him. I'll be featuring. So I'm blown away. It's been a great year. It's been a great year, calendar year, and just, man, it's been great. I mean, I had Schumer, Norman, Louie. Now it's going to be Colin Quinn. I mean, when I moved here to Charlottesville, I thought my career was over. It was going to suck. But, you know, not to toot my own horn, I got here. I didn't settle. I do a lot of driving. I work hard. And it's starting to pay off, and I'm excited. So I just hope none of these dates fall through. That's the only thing about this business. It's like you get excited, and then dates fall through at the drop of a hat because people get so busy. But yeah, I got a lot of exciting things coming up, and I feel very fortunate, blessed, lucky, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, so again, Rochester, me opening for the one and only Colin Quinn, August 31st through September 1st or 2nd. So I'm super excited. I was going to mention last week, but I decided to wait until this week. It's at the new comedy club off of Blossom Road on Carlson. It used to be Stromberg, something like that, the old Stromberg building. I guess they used to build like old radios and, you know, those old school, like blockish looking microphones with the slits in it. You know, you used to see like the doo-wop guys grabbing it by the, you know, or Elvis grabbing it and like leaning it over, those type of microphones, or the microphones that used to dangle from the ceilings. They used to make stuff like that back in the day. Huge building, huge old warehouse. They've broken it up into different businesses. And the guy who used to run, Mark Ippolito, he used to run the comedy club in Webster, which is still there, fun room. When he left, he met with this guy, and they decided to open up a newer, bigger, and damn it, better club. And when I went home to pick up Miles a couple weekends ago, it was their opening weekend. They had Mike Birbiglia there, and I stopped in. I didn't get to stay and watch the show. It was just too many people going. I didn't want to be in the way. And beautiful club. You walk in. It's got a huge walkway. It's got the Patrice O'Neal bar area. And they have all these portraits of great comics up on the wall there. They actually have a stage in the bar area, so where they held their mic in there, which is dope. You don't have to use the big room; you can use the smaller room. So the bar is dope. They have a little billiards area with a pool table. I got to see a little bit of the other phases that they're working on. They got a back room that's probably gonna seat about 150 people. That looks dope. So you can do smaller local showcases in there. Again, so you don't have to try to have a show in the main room, which holds 350 people. And if you can't fill it up, the show just doesn't seem like it's doing as well. But when you have these other smaller stages and rooms that you can do shows in, man, it makes it a lot better. And the shows are better quality when the rooms seem like they're filled. But, yeah, so when I went home, my boy Todd Youngman, he's involved with the club, and he gave me a tour. The kitchen looked great. I mean, the room was the actual main room is just a beautiful, huge room. It's got a nice backdrop, and I'm super excited to be part of this so early on, you know? Jamie Lissau was there this weekend. He's a Rochester native, legend now. He's writing for Rob Schneider. He's got a show on Netflix. So, you know, it's just it's stuff like that. I'm just glad to be a part of kind of history. You know, this is a great club. They're bringing a lot of great acts in. And for me to be able to, to be at the club so early in its existence and to do it with Quinn, it means a lot. So come on out, people. Please come on out and support if you can. I'll also be in Syracuse a couple weeks before that, August 10th through the 13th. If you want to come out and drive up to Syracuse or over to Syracuse, let me know. I'll get you some tickets, all right? Can't do anything about tickets at the Carlson, but I can hook you up at the Funny Bone. So I just need people to come out and support. That's it. Super excited. So that was the possible big news that I mentioned last week. I keep saying I'm happy, but I can't explain the excitement and actually even the fear. I don't want to do bad in front of Colin Quinn, you know. So just looking forward to it, man. It's just right now I'm trying to tell myself to just enjoy this. I'm pretty sure people know, like, I've been dealing with depression and anxiety like the last, for a while, but I've finally addressed it maybe 8 or 9 months ago. I started seeing the therapist and all that kind of stuff. It's been great. Still kind of, you know, just deal with, you know, ups and downs. And not too long ago, my doctor prescribed me like the, I think it's called Sertraline or something like that. It's basically like the generic version of Zoloft. And I never really wanted to take antidepressants or anxiety medication. But I talked to my wife, I talked to some close friends, my family, and I had, you know, it was kind of a mixed bag of like, take the meds, you know, don't take it. And talk to my wife. That's the biggest thing. And we decided to give it a shot. I did it for about a week. And you know what? I decided against it, people. I can't do it. I started getting these headaches. And there's just something about taking a pill that changes my brain chemistry that it just does not sit well with me. So I guess I got to tell my doctor that, but I decided I'm going to try to go a more natural route. You know, I need to start working out more, keep myself busy, do some guided meditation, and just talk it out, you know, just work through it. I can't do the meds. I know there are people who've been through this situation. They're like, dude, it changed my life. Take the meds. You'll feel a lot better. I will say I slept harder. I don't know if that's really a side effect of it, but I did sleep a little better. But I'm not a pill popper. I don't get many headaches, and just having these headaches, taking this medication, to me, I was like, it's just not worth it. I don't care. So if anybody has any other, you know, methods or ideas, please let me know. I won't be mad, you know, I asked for some help. So, but yeah, I just decided to go the more natural route. I just, you know, I'm not going to do the pill thing. I guess it's that you can't really become dependent on it, but I don't want to psychologically become dependent on it where if I don't take it for a day, I'm like, you know, I didn't take my pill, I'm going to freak out. Or if I got a big event coming up and I don't have a pill to take, I'm going to feel like I can't perform, or I need that pill to calm down. And I know that's really not the case, but the mind is a powerful thing. So I'm not going to take this medication anymore. And I'm pretty sure they'll try to find me something else, but I'm just going to have to decline and just work through it naturally. I think that's probably the best thing for me. That's just a little insight into my life. I know it's not funny. But if you're dealing with it like I am, and I think there's millions of people that deal with it, you know, just figure out the best course of action for you. So, I believe right now it's manageable without medication. And I think that's probably the best thing for me, just to do, and I'm going to do that. All right, I think I beat that to death. But I just try to be a kind of an open book and give people a little window into what I'm dealing with, and hopefully those words can help people if they're dealing with something. Oh man. So I guess the big thing in the news now is, you know, the apparent or alleged banning of trans people in the military. So many mixed feelings on this subject from people. You know, people are like, yeah, that's good. They shouldn't be doing this. They're all crazy. It's a mental disorder. Man, I just feel like if someone has had gender reassignment surgery and the military comes with a set of rules and regulations, and you can fit those, you fit that criterion, you can do all the PT, you can do whatever they ask you to do, and it's not going to be an issue for a person to meet standards. I'm all for transgender people in the military. I don't care. That's all. And for somebody that dodged the draft, and the way they went about it, it's so cowardly. It pisses me off. This is going to be too much of a burden and a distraction. It's going to cost us too much money. It's like, what? People act like we're going to allow transgender people in the military, and then all of a sudden you're going to have 100,000 trans people trying to join to get the surgery. You're talking about a very, very small amount of people. I don't know. And my thing is, if you know what, if you really are that strong about it, about trans people not joining because you think they're crazy or they don't qualify, they just shouldn't wear the uniform. If you've never served, I feel like it should be your obligation, since you're so vocal about it, so against it, that you should just put the uniform on and take their place. If you're going to talk shit as if they're just a burden and just unfit for duty, I feel like that would be the right thing to do. You go, hey, you know what? I don't think you could handle this. Let me go ahead and take that M4 from you. I'm gonna stand out here, or I'll take that deployment. I'll take that PT test. I'll be away from my family for a year, for 6 months. I'll take that on, you know, since you can't handle it. And it's also great to see certain friends who finally have the moral courage to tell other military members, like, hey, you got to watch what you say about this president. But if you went through their Facebook timeline over the last 8 years, nothing but total disrespect for the last guy. Nothing but total. Total disrespect. But, hey, that's different, you know. They were frustrated. That's all. Also, the whole money thing, I saw somebody, we just can't afford it. I know so many retirees that cheat the VA when it's time to get close, when it's time to retire after your 20 years. You want to get sleep apnea, your knees messed up. I gotta get my hearing checked. I'm trying to get to 100%. I think we waste more money on fraud from retirees than anything. But yeah, it's just funny that's usually the biggest group of people opposing this are the same people cheating the government, trying to milk it for everything they get. I've had people try to tell me, make sure you get all this stuff documented so you can get the most money as possible. I don't want anything I'm not entitled to. I'm not trying to take any extra money at all. I don't want it. Just give me what I'm owed and I can get out of there. I don't need to get a sleep study done to see if I have sleep apnea because it's 30%. I don't want it. I don't want it. That's costing people more, the American people more than a few transgender people that want to serve the country. If you want to serve, you want to serve. And it's funny, I'm pretty sure if, say, in a worst case scenario, something kicked off and they started drafting people, And all of a sudden, they would go, you know what? Trans people are exempt from the draft. They can't go fight this war that they're more than likely to die in. The same people that are for this ban would go, that's not fair. They're getting special treatment. They should be able, they should have to serve just like everybody else. They would, at this point, they would feel like trans people are getting over. They're getting something. People just love telling people no and taking shit away from other people. It makes them feel better. And at the same time, they hate when other people feel, they feel like other people are getting treated better than they are, better than they are. It's just, I'm telling you, it just pisses me off. Really makes me mad. So, 20 minutes. All right, let me wrap this up. So, today's Friday. So if you're in Charlottesville, you listen to this, I'll be at the Southern tomorrow running the mic there. Should be a fun show. And August 10th through the 13th, August 6th, I'll be in D.C. at the Anacostia Cultural Center, August 6th with Kason Wilson. I think it's like $15. I'm doing a clean set. I don't know how that's going to go. Probably not well, but fuck it. I'm going to do it. And then August 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Syracuse Funny Bone. August 16th, I'll be in Richmond at Gallery 5. And then that following week, I will be at the Pittsburgh Comedy Festival. That first night on the 22nd, I'll be at the University of Pittsburgh at Nordy's Place. I'm headlining the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the last week in August, the big one, I'll be at the Comedy Club in the Carlson, opening for Colin Quinn. So that should be fun. So those are my upcoming dates. So talk to you guys soon. There's a show. That's a show. Peace. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. All right.